just go through a scattering of passages here this morning. Matthew chapter 4, verse 24. Go ahead and look it up. It says that the people from the region of Syria brought all those who were sick with various diseases. Then they brought in more people, those people who were demon-possessed, and those who were having seizures. Jesus healed every one of them. Let's bump a little bit further. How about Matthew chapter 8, verse 26? Look that one up. The disciples are with Jesus out on the rocky waters of the Sea of Galilee, and a storm comes up, and Jesus rebukes the waves, the wind and the waves. And the wind and the waves obey Jesus. Skip forward to Matthew chapter 20, verse 34. In this verse, it says that Jesus touched the eyes of the blind, they received their sight, and they followed Jesus. It's plural there, many people. How about John chapter 6, verse 19? The disciples are gathered, and they see Jesus walking on the water with their sight. I haven't even mentioned Mark's gospel. It's my favorite. I could quote many different passages here in Mark's gospel. There are exhaustive statements in Mark's gospel. How about Mark 6, verse 56? It's in that passage that it says this, as many that touched him were made well. Whoa! Miracles in the Bible are not occasional. Let's be honest. They're constant. The miracles in the Bible about Jesus are not just a side story to who this guy was. They were central to who he was as a person. So if the people in the Middle East during Jesus' day in certain regions knew that he was a miracle worker, lots of reports that people knew this, don't you think that if someone wanted to refute that he was a miracle worker, that they'd raise their hands and say, no, he didn't really do it. I don't believe that he's a miracle worker. Do you realize that in the Bible and extra biblical writings, there is not one person in the first century that refutes that Jesus was a miracle worker? That's shocking. Wouldn't there have been one person on the side of the shore who might have said, oh no, he didn't walk on water, he was stepping on stones underneath the water? Or don't you think there was someone when he gave sight to the blind that stood up and said, well, it really didn't come through clearly, I was there. Or don't you think there was someone there that when the lame began to walk, they said, no, the medical doctors, they're the ones who actually did it. They took the medicine, they got better. See, there was an opportunity for someone to raise their hand and say, no, he didn't do miracles. Peter, 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, in the book of Acts, gives a sermon, and he starts listing all these miracles. And there were 3,000 people listening to this. They were there when he did these miracles. Not one person raised their hand and said, he didn't do any of those things. Here's the thing about Jesus. The thing about Jesus is that people didn't like him. There are many people that didn't like him. There are many people that didn't like his movement. There are many people that didn't like his politics, but no one refuted that he was a miracle worker. And the way that he did his miracles are unique as well. Let me just point out a couple of these things this morning to inspire you about how beautiful a miracle worker Jesus was. Every self-proclaimed miracle worker before Jesus and after Jesus, every single one, called upon some outside source to perform the miracle. They'd call on a divine God, or they'd call on, or they'd pray in some fashion, or they'd read a spell out of a book or something like that, and then they'd try to perform the miracle. Jesus never does that. He never calls on a divine being. He never prays. He speaks a word. And it happens. Interesting. Every miracle worker before Jesus, every miracle after Jesus, used mediums, some sort of material to perform a miracle, setting up stones in a certain way so that the miracle act could happen, or setting up sticks so that things could be in place, or only performing miracles on a certain day or at a certain location. Jesus is a miracle worker anytime, any location, and he never uses a medium. He just speaks a word. How about this passage? John chapter 21, verse 25. The end of John's gospel says this, that the miracles of Jesus are so numerous that the world couldn't contain the books that would be written about them. That's how the end of the gospel ends. That's how the gospel ends, John's gospel. Okay, Pastor, great. You proved your point. Jesus was a miracle worker. How does that impact my life this Christmas? I get it. I get excited about these things. But how does this impact your life? I really believe it does. Here's how it does. Your biggest fear and monster, the thing that keeps you up at night, the thing that causes insecurity is a minor thing for Jesus. It's easy for him. So when the blind receive their sight, for the blind man, John chapter 9, blind Bartimaeus, for him that issue was constantly on his mind. For Jesus, it was a touch of the finger, could take care of it. How about the disciples out on the sea that was rocky in the waves? For them, they were filled with such terror and fear about what would come forward. You know what that was for Jesus? Nap time. He was sleeping. It was a moment to show his power and authority over the wind and the waves. Or how about the time the one family was crying and wailing over the death of a loved one? That's a sad thing for sure. For Jesus, it was a moment to show his power even over death. Whatever it is, your fear, your insecurity, he can touch it with his finger. He's bigger than whatever it is. That's the gift that's being given to you this Christmas. A Savior who was born for you, who was born to save you, who was born to take on your greatest fear. Ever since that doctor's appointment in St. Louis, I make sure to check the degrees and the certifications of the doctors that I go to, as well as the doctors that take care of my children. And after I read those credentials, I take a step back and I say, I'm in good hands. Now, it doesn't take away the fear, but I can at least say, I'm in good hands. Jesus presents to us his degrees. Again, here they are in verse 20. Sight to the blind. Those who are lame could walk. Those who had leprosy were cleansed. Those that were deaf could speak. The dead are raised. The poor have good news preached to them. Now, as John the Baptist disciples left Jesus, I have no doubt the fears that were there continued. The world was topsy-turvy. King Herod still sought out John the Baptist and all his disciples. In fact, he killed John the Baptist. And they were going to a difficult place. The fears were still there. But I am 100% certain after this conversation, those disciples could say, I'm in good hands. So can you. Amen.